You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast, the ultimate webcast and podcast for you, the wrestling fans, run by fans, and we are just having a great old time here. And after a few days off, we are back. We're fully recharged. And even though Google Plus is unwilling to broadcast our show, we're going to give you the audio show anyway, because you love the podcast. We know this to be true. My name is Al John Goh, your co-host and lifelong wrestling fan, joined and radio broadcaster, by the way. All right. I've been doing this for a long time, 17 damn years. And I don't even know how long I've been podcasting. I've been podcasting for what? Since I left the buzz in 1999 or 2000. I don't even know. I've been podcasting for a long damn time. Maybe six, seven years, something like that. It's been a long time.
I remember your going away party.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? That voice.
Good night.
That voice you hear in the background is the disembodied voice of our heel commentator, the wrestling historian, the man with the glove of injustice. Welcome back to the show, the co-host, Steven Anthony. How you doing, sir?
My dark heel ways have been spreading into the stratosphere of wrestling lately, it seems. It's been the dark times have come upon many of people these days, unfortunately.
Well, it sure seems like it. I tell you what you need to do before we get into the meat, the heart of the news. We've got a lot to catch up on. Our last show was the Dusty Rhodes tribute, so we do have a lot to talk about. Don't forget, you can help the show out, and we do appreciate you downloading the show every single week via iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course our YouTube page as well by viewing the show. We do appreciate that, but you can take it that next step. Take our relationship to the next level, if you will. If you will.
Yeah, girl.
And go ahead and support the show by clicking on our links to Amazon. You can also click on our links to HighSpots.com. We do appreciate them. Our friends at HighSpots, we love shoot videos. We talk about them every single week. And interesting shoot video on Vince Russo I saw not too long ago, and I'm trying to remember who did it. I think it was an RF video, Vince Russo video.
I saw a KC one the other, or kayfabe one the other day, where he did the year 2000.
Oh man, so good.
You know, trying to justify his insanity. But anyway.
Well, yeah, it's something else. Vince Russo, one of the more controversial figures in professional wrestling today and still continues to do so. You want to see those shoot videos, you want to make sure you log on to ProWrestlingCast.com, our website, and click our link, our banner for High Spots. From there, it'll take you right there to their video page. They've got tons of stuff on sale. Wrestling memorabilia, cards, signed photos, great indie wrestling shows. The DVDs are outstanding. Omega recently had a really awesome show. WrestleCon, their show was really cool. Got the t-shirt, awesome. And then, of course, our favorite shoot videos on sale every single day and available not just for the DVD so that you can kick it old school, but also digital download so you can watch them whenever you want on demand. And the prices are very reasonable. Check them out. Once again, High Spots, our link on ProWrestlingCast.com, and support the show. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our links on YouTube as well as iTunes. Give us those 5-star reviews. Leave comments on our YouTube and iTunes page, and we will read them in an upcoming show, just like we did, two shows shows ago, we answered some fan mail from our YouTube page. So we definitely want you to interact with us any way you can. You can also follow us on Twitter, too, at P Wrestling Cast. That's right, P Wrestling Cast on the old Twitter, as Bubba Ray Dudley would say, the Twitter machine, which I'm a big definitely fond of Bully Ray / Bubba Ray Dudley. Big fan of Mr. Bully Ray himself. So, yes. I tell you what, we're going to talk about so much news
this week in wrestling news.
WWE, I've been catching up on Tough Enough, the series. We've got Raw info, but we're going to start off our wrestling news segment with the wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. Tell us about what's going on in TNA.
It seems that the things are getting darker as of late to me. Of course, we had a pay-per-view Slammiversary. It was actually a pretty darn good show, if anybody out there caught it.
I did. I love it. It was one of the best. It was actually better than some of the WWE pay-per-views in several respects.
Okay, interesting comment. Certainly Austin Aries puts on a great show, and certainly, you know, Jeff Jarrett got a big babyface reaction with winning the King of the Mountain match.
Let me interrupt here for a second. I will tell you, there were really big three highlights for me of the show. The X Division title match was great. I thought DJZ. Also, we had Manic in there, two Filipino wrestlers, which were great, outstanding. I have to root for my Filipino wrestlers. You know, I know. DJZ was great and everything. You know, in the end. And who else did I liked in the show? Oh yeah, we talked about the Davey Richards versus Austin Aries match. That was unbelievable. Definitely a must watch again. And King of the Mountain. Those were just the on those three matches alone, it was really good stuff, I thought. So, and we have a criteria here. Do you buy or not buy? Do you want to watch it again or not watch it again? I would definitely watch it again, and I would suggest that everybody out there give those three matches a watch. Those alone just made it a buy for me.
Yeah, and it was sort of a sad kind of situation, because it's very likely, it's not definite, but it's likely that could have been the last pay-per-view. A lot of people are, you know, a little confused why they, I don't know how many people keep up with TNA anymore, but they, you know, they've been building Ethan Carter III for quite a while. He's had quite a few good matches, and he's been on a hell of a winning streak, and they had him go over Kurt Angle, but they didn't do it on the pay-per-view. They waited until the TV show that followed it. They also had the title change, the official title change in the Best of Five tag series, kind of, you know, the end of that feud sort of was on the TV show after it. I think if those two matches would have been on this show, along with the King of the Mountain match, it would have made it even better. I understand, though, that, you know, why they did it. You know, this company really only has TV. That's all they have for themselves. I'd expect that the buy rate for it is, for Slammiversary, is probably, I'm going to take a guess, I bet I'm right, I'm going to say it's 6,000.
Oh my God. So bad.
I think it'll be less than 10 and more than 5, and maybe not 8. You know, they were getting down to 8s, but, you know, I don't think they're going to do a Bound for Glory pay-per-view the way it looks. And the reason I think that is because Jeff Jarrett is the Hall of Fame guy they've announced, and they usually do that at Bound for Glory. They've actually already taped that segment. You know, a lot of confusion over there, not just with the multiple contract situation, but let me, there's so much going on. Let me put it into a broader, easier way to say it. I don't think they have a lot of money on hand anymore, and they can't really offer good contracts to people. So I think they made a call to Jeff. They definitely made a call to Jeff to get him involved to do an invasion angle with Global Force Wrestling, which, to be quite honest, I remember on one of our first few podcasts, we were saying, I wonder what the house show lineups are going to be. Those house show lineups ended up being pretty darn boring.
Yeah.
You know, no offense. Chris Masters couldn't use his real name. You know, that's probably the best wrestler on their roster. He's very underrated.
Yes.
He was a guy that got a push too soon and then had to pay for it later. But I saw some, you know, rather suspect pictures of their attendances. They're doing shows at minor league baseball stadiums, and they have no TV deal yet. Yet they're filming on, I believe, the 27th or 24th in Las Vegas
to have a TV show. I know that they're doing a tournament, and Bobby Roode's going to be there, for example. So I think because TNA has run out of money, I think because Jeff Jarrett's main backer was Toby Keith, and he's not really there, they have to sort of work together here and do this. A lot of people have backed out of TNA and were offered a lot less of a contract. One of them, it's funny, our viewer question the other day was, why don't they push AJ and Kazarian? And I said, well, I don't know about Loki, but those other guys, they pissed off. Well, Loki's gone too now. And let's see, who else? James Storm, which is extraordinary. You know, James Storm has been so involved in this dumb angle.
Yeah,
we've been talking about.
Well,
Magnus, a guy that's homegrown. Gunner, another homegrown guy. And I think they're going to try to spin it like, oh, we were fooling you guys all along. They're actually still with us, but they work for GFW. What the reality is, they have to allow them to work for any independence they can get, because they can't offer them those big contracts that they were before.
No.
You know, it's interesting, Al John, I was just thinking about it. What's going to happen to Jeff Hardy, you know, once his leg gets better? Is he going to have anything to go back to? Will he have to end up at WWE?
Yep.
Certainly Ring of Honor is not an option. And then, you know, Kurt Angle with the news that he has some sort of, you know, cancerous tumor to take care of. And
surgery
for that.
Yeah.
But be back in time. I mean, this guy is crazy. He'll just wrestle. He does not care.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a guy that goes 100% full bore.
His life is, life is in the ring, you know? That's him.
That's who he always has been. But you know what? This is the best situation for Jeff Jarrett, and I guess the best situation for TNA. It's really the only thing they can do. But Slammiversary, would I rewatch it? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not bad, you know? But at the same time, they didn't build it up like a pay-per-view. They kind of did the weirdest thing I've ever seen, which is to announce matches and then hold them up for TV.
Yeah, well, that's their main point of generating income is through TV. And, you know, I was talking earlier to your lovely wife, and
yes,
it was, you know, will Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy have anything to come back to? And, you know, probably not. I mean, what are they going to, you know, what can they do, you know? And the fact that it is kind of crazy for us wrestling fans as we follow the product, because they're filming in a nonlinear order. And we don't know, you know, we don't know what's going on. It pisses off fans. It, you know, we know the results beforehand, you know, and it makes me think that, you know, with Slammiversary being broadcast on the Flips app, you know, which is the big app that Jeff Jarrett was using for Wrestle Kingdom 9 and Global Force,
right,
you know, things like that. It just seems to me like iPay-per-view seems to be the way to do it. And can TNA continue? Well, yeah, maybe if they move their headquarters to the UK.
Yeah, they're huge over there.
Yeah,
they'll probably still record TV shows for over there, even after Destination America's up, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, just because the TV deal here in the States, it might suck, which, you know, whatever the case is, they still have an opportunity to take it and have good times with it elsewhere. They just have to change their business model. I mean, you got to be able to sell. You got to be able to sell merchandise. You have to be able to charge people at the gate for the shows. And, you know, there are some really good independent companies out there. You know, Chikara is doing really well. Apparently, they're doing really well. You know, Ring of Honor still does really well.
Ring of Honor does fine. Their house shows are strong.
And NXT does well, too. But, you know, that's besides the point. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. They have to be able to generate multiple streams of income. And, you know, and I'm sorry I bothered you. I interrupted you, but you and I both, as much as we are critical, like everyone else is, of wrestling and the different promotions out there, we still want it to succeed. I'd hate for anyone not to have a job. And, you know, and as you may not watch Slammiversary again, I think I actually would. I might watch it again. And I will say this, that if this was the last pay-per-view, it definitely seemed like it was a good send-off. You know, it kind of came around full circle. You had some people come back in the mix, even though Matt Morgan jobbed to Bram. You know, he put him over, you know, the future of the, you know, whatever TNA. I'm just not into Bram. You and I are not Bram fans, but I am a big I do like Matt Morgan. I've always liked Matt Morgan, and I have always appreciated his intensity. It's just a shame that he was underutilized in TNA.
And well, I don't know if he's underutilized. I don't think he ever reached his potential.
You're right. And you know, the other thing too, I was telling your wife is we were talking about, you know, where did TNA go wrong? And we talk about this, you know, every other week it seems, but I just feel that when Jeff was doing things and doing the pay-per-views for, you know, what is it, $5-$10 he was charging initially when he was in Nashville. And then they got
$9.99.
It was a $9.99. Okay, so you get and then you get the Fox Network deal, which I loved it when they were on Fox. Believe it or not, I thought it was a really good, different type of show. But when they went to Spike, and then they started doing things to compete with WWE, that really led to their downfall. That and signing all of these big name contract people, where they couldn't deliver. It's like, look, you know, you got some of the biggest names in the world and free agents in the world of professional wrestling, and didn't do you a damn bit. It really didn't. Maybe Kurt Angle, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you signed Booker, it didn't help. You signed Christian, it didn't help. You know, you re-signed Sting, it didn't help your ratings. You got Hogan and Bischoff, it didn't help your ratings. You got Kevin Nash, it didn't help your ratings. Not a damn bit helped your ratings.
Okay.
And you kept on spending more money on contract after contract after contract. And it's like, dude, are you guys never going to learn?
They've never learned. Let's go back in time 10 years and let's tie it into NXT and Slammiversary, if you don't mind.
Okay, let's do it.
NXT has taken over. I think the trick with Triple H was, let's create the ultimate indie and steal Ring of Honor and TNA Thunder. And you know, don't think they didn't notice the Ring of Honor had, you know, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, and all those guys, even Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Aries.
But back in the day, TNA was what NXT is now. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, they had the Unbreakable pay-per-view.
Yep.
I'll just name a couple of matches off of it. Austin Aries over Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Abyss beat Sabu. This is back when they could back both still kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sabin over Petey Williams. Bobby Roode beat Jeff Hardy. The Naturals, which was a great underrated
team. Love those guys.
Stevens, I think you know him. Yeah.
Yep. No
and
chase.
Beat Shelly and Candido, America's Most Wanted, and Team Canada, which Eric Young was awesome in.
Awesome.
Raven beat Rhino back when he could work. And then the main event was that three-way match. I think it was our match of the week where AJ had the blowout with Daniels and Samoa Joe.
That's
now
right.
That's a fucking pay-per-view.
That is a killer pay-per-view. It still stands. It still stands up as one of the best.
There's three or four other matches, too, I didn't even name.
Yeah.
But, okay, so NXT became what TNA was. TNA, you're exactly right. They were like, well, let's try to play with the big boys at some point. You know, that just doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
You can't play with the big boys if you don't have Big Boy Thunder. Look how well NXT is doing. NXT is the business model TNA could have followed and made money with. If they would have 1,000 to 2,000 people showing up at house shows that they ran 10 to 12 times a month, and they had a TV show with the ratings were about, I don't know, 1 million people to 1.5 million like they were getting towards. And if they had pay-per-views that they booked consistently and built up over the course of 3 months and had a good one, they might still be in business.
Yep.
You know, that's the deal. And they dropped the ball with all those guys. All those guys hate them, or hate working for the company in some way. Loki's like, fuck this. I don't want to do it anymore. And the Filipino love that you're spreading throughout the X Division of TNA is awesome.
Yep.
But look at what we've come. They've lost so many great X Division wrestlers at the same time over the years.
Look at Sanjay Dutt, you know? I mean, mentioned by name by Jeff Jarrett in a promo. I called one of my best friends Sanjay Dutt, and I'm like, oh my God, how good were you, Sanjay? I love Sanjay Dutt. What a great...
Oh, Sanjay was unbelievable.
Sanjay is so good.
Sanjay was just so great.
Yeah, I mean, they lost so many people. I mean, Jay Lethal was, you know, promo gold. You know, Petey Williams. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And look how awesome Jay Lethal, the new Ring of Honor champion.
Multi-champion.
You know, is shooting for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Jay Lethal holds all the gold right now in Ring of Honor. Thank God. I mean, Jay Lethal, my man. You know, well, almost all the gold.
I think that's a different thing to talk about, but I think it's good that, you know, they booked that well, okay? But Ring of Honor is still third string behind NXT. NXT, despite all of their numerous injuries, despite the fact that, you know, if I were them, I would have Finn Balor win in Japan, you know, and not bring them up to the active roster because they've lost so many people. But NXT is what TNA was in 2005. They're the ones putting on TNA for all they tried to push women, for example. Mm-hmm. They never had those four-star Sasha Banks matches in the women's division like they always wanted to.
You don't think?
They tried really hard to do it.
They had a couple really great, well, and I say a couple, I mean, look.
Not at that level, though.
I guess.
That's a matter of perception.
Yeah.
You know?
I can give you that. I mean, look, a prolonged feud between Awesome Kong and Gail Kim was great. I think
that was awesome.
I think Mickie James versus Victoria was also very good. So just on the basis of those four women alone, because, you know, Victoria can go one-on-one, whatever, but Victoria versus Mickie James, they had some really good matches in there. Anyway, I see what you're saying.
But the clearest sign to me that this is over with is James Storm not resigning.
Yeah.
James Storm is all over their TV show with this dumb shit they've been doing with the train and the
Mickie James. Yeah.
Right. And you can't even get him resigned. That means they have no money. Yeah. And they won't be able to resign Jeff Hardy if they don't have money for that. They won't be able to do any of that. They were late on their paychecks again. They're more pissed off about the fact that it's getting leaked, from what I understand. They're trying to figure out who's leaking the information.
Oh, come on. You don't pay the crew again. Yep. You don't treat people right, then stuff like that's going to happen. You know?
You know, and they basically, it sounds like they forced on them, like, hey, we're not paying you today. If you want to stay and work, you can. If you want to leave, go ahead. And they naturally stay and work because not only is it their job, but they also feel like, hey, if I stay and work, maybe they'll pay me. Maybe they'll pay me.
Maybe.
You know? The damage control that they try to do on Twitter is really just, it's really sad. It's almost like, it's just sad the way they use multimedia in a sense. They try to build themselves up on it, but it's almost like the same way like a person feels like they can get attention on Facebook by posting a lot of like weird, weird posts. Like it's almost like that type of vibe. It doesn't feel like a major company.
Right.
Going on a huge expedition to publicize themselves. And they seem to have, I don't know.
Yeah.
And all they have is TV. And all they have is TV now.
All they have is TV, you know, and it's sad. We were looking at earlier when we first started this show around Fastlane, WWE's Fastlane right. pay-per-view. We were saying it's a great time to be a wrestling fan because you have right. New Japan on Access TV, DirecTV. You've got, a new Global Force. You've got TNA. You've got Lucha Underground. You have AAA. You've got, and you know, all that stuff is easy to watch. And of course, WWE Network. So as a wrestling fan, it's like, wow, there's so much choices. I'm always going to be entertained. There's always going to be great work out there to be found. And then now you're like, we may be losing Lucha Underground, which is another story for you. And of course, TNA
right.
might be going in the pooper. So, yep. You know, it's a disappointing time because we want those people to have jobs. And I'll tell you, the commentary was really good. You know, I've other than a couple snafus from D'Angelo De Niro, which I think he's a great talent. I enjoyed.
You mean Elijah Burke?
Elijah Burke, yes, Elijah Burke. Elijah Burke was great. I of course love Josh Matthews on commentary, and they brought back the professor for one night, and I thought he was great. I mean, it made a lot of sense, and I really, you know, even when I wasn't watching and I could listen, I could tell the stories are being told there, and I really appreciated that, which is something that some of the WWE commentators don't do, you know, which was great. So it's so sad.
It is, and their TV show had the lowest rating since they've gone on. Besides that weird show where they played Slammiversary over again,
mm-hmm.
It's the lowest rating they've had. And to be quite frank with you, they've had all this attention on the internet. They had the Iron Man match with the Wolves and the Heels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had the title match, the Kurt Angle EC3 match that they've been building up forever. So That to me, if I would have seen those numbers when I was in their office, I would have been completely fucking deflated. You know, but Ethan Carter the third is kind of who their champion should be now. It really, they don't deserve to have a Kurt Angle as the champion, you know, and Kurt has had made such a mess with WWE over the years. I think they're just scared to use him, to be honest. He'd probably be back over there because he was talking with them. Lowest ratings they've had. Same thing for Ring of Honor, by the way.
Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs. It is hard times. It's a sad state of affairs for the boys in the back. Really, I mean, what do you think about it? Let us know via Twitter or Facebook, ProWrestlingCast.com. You can click our links for that. Leave your comments on this program. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think TNA's future holds? Right now, it looks really, really bleak. And, you know, as people say, Samuel Clemens, the rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated. Well, I believe this is no exaggeration in this case. This is no exaggeration. Literally, the promotion seems to me like it's on life support. As much as I want to support Dixie Carter and that company, which I still will, it's really going to be some dark days ahead. Will it be an iPay-per-view type of situation? You know, can they change their business model? I believe there's still a hardcore group of fans that do appreciate what those wrestlers have. And maybe TNA should just network, like I believe Jim Ross has said this many times, let TNA be a showcase for great indie wrestling and have them work with, you know, other promotions like Chikara or, you know, what's that promotion out of Los Angeles? So anyway, they have some things that they could do to be a showcase for those wrestlers because, you know, they do still have some brand equity, you know, and I mentioned this a couple podcasts ago. You know, they had an opportunity to rebrand and they did not. I think that was a big mistake. But having said that, you know, if this is going to be what it is, perhaps they can learn from it and actually use whatever equities left in that name to promote younger talent on the internet. Because, you know, let's face it, you know, internet programming's in, and maybe shows like TNA Impact and Lucha Underground can find homes. And like I said, on Netflix, you know, have a limited season or do something cool like that. Do a lot of stuff online with YouTube, but provide companies like Amazon, Netflix, those type of streaming services, an awesome program that people can watch, you know, all the time. I think it can be done, you know.
TNA could have worked with all those people, but they've always, to me, tried to make themselves seem kind of super important and, you know, not letting people wrestle for other organizations, TV ones, not letting them wrestle for DFW. The fact of the matter is they wanted to do an invasion angle already with Ring of Honor. They wanted to do a pay-per-view that was TNA versus Ring of Honor. And they wanted to do a few things like that more recently, and Ring of Honor didn't want to do it with them. So, you know, they've been trying to do this for a while. I just don't see what kind of invasion they can do, Alec John. It's not like they have these, like, who is Global Force Wrestling? I'd have to know who that is first.
That's the real question. That's the real question. How can it be an invasion? You know, that, well, you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. Speaking of Global Force, what type of deal do they have with TNA? I know that you had some details regarding that.
All they have deal-wise is the agreement that people can work at both places, that Jeff Jarrett is going to be the King of the Mountain champion and take that title with him to GFW, that GFW will be using people like Bobby Roode in their title match tournament, and that they're going to do an invasion angle. That's the working relationship as of right now. It's kind of surprising. Because, you know, Jeff, when they parted ways a year and a half ago, apparently a lot of people didn't really like him in the locker room. Or not in the locker room, but in the office. And it's just really, that shows you another, you know, way of how dire the situation is. So that's basically the working relationship. It was TNA's idea, though. And, you know, I know Karen didn't want to do it. I don't think Karen gets along with Dixie. I do get that impression. I'm not saying that's a fact.
No, it seems like it because you're going to hear it because Jeff Jarrett's comeback promo, including Karen Angle, a little bit of that Karen Angle Jarrett, was going to be put in there.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be our promo of the week. And I have to say that I did see the show when it aired, when Jeff came out, because I knew it was coming. And it was very compelling TV. I thought for sure that the ratings would have popped just for that. And it did not.
Yeah.
Very disappointing because I thought Jeff and Karen both cut really heartfelt, you know, promos. That's what you want. You want that basis in reality. You want that pipe bomb feeling,
right,
that CM Punk had. And I believe Jeff, this to me is one of the most memorable promos he's ever cut. Because of that emotional tie and having Karen there and the whole thing about, I didn't want to even pick up the phone because I knew what it was going to be about, you know, that whole situation was, you know, I just let it go.
And that really did happen, by the way.
Yeah.
That was real. That was a shoot.
Yeah. He was ousted from his own company that he founded, you know?
Right.
And
trust me, he stuck with that company for the long way, looking down when he was getting gone with it. It didn't look like they're going to survive at all. And they just kept going.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's his company too. Another thing I can tell you is that, like, Mickie James and her real life husband will actually, will, you know, like, he'll be using the name Magnus in GFW, for example, even though TNA owns that name. So they're going to very much make it seem like they are working together in a weird, shooty way because they want people to think this is all a plan, but it's really a way for the wrestlers to have a way to make money and work. You know, they only get about $500 a show at GFW as well. So, I mean, look, guys make money the ways they can, but they've been paying guys $300 a night at TNA for a long time. And, you know, there are always stories about guys taking the bus to the shows and stuff. And, you know, man, I'd have to blame a lot of this on Hulk Hogan. I just wanted to throw that back out there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, once again, this is what happens. You know, you invest money.
Get involved with Hulk Hogan, you got a problem.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, well, anyway, once again, I encourage you all, our fine listeners, our loyal listeners, to react and post your comments in our social media page, Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube as well. So moving on to the next piece of business, we've got a lot of stuff going on in the world of WWE. I will say this, you know, we're not going to do our typical rundown of Raw and SmackDown and all that stuff because, you know, it has been a few days, and I appreciate you guys for keeping the faith and keeping us subscribed to our feed. What are your thoughts on the latest round of shows as we lead up to WWE Battleground?
Fucking boring. And the ratings reflect that. They had their worst number and they set another damn record.
Yeah.
You know, the record's always since 1997, you know, but trust me, 1997 is the bottom out period, and then Steve Austin basically took the promotion on his back. You know, to compare to that, you might as well say 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, their ratings are just bottoming out, and I really feel like building the show around Seth Rollins, Ambrose, and Reigns has not been good for ratings, for better or worse. Shane Douglas. Wow.
Get the franchise back. Yeah.
He bring back the franchise. Get him to go over Sabu. Okay.
Have him cut the promo.
No, well, he did cut a good promo.
Oh, Shane was great in ECW. I love those promos.
I didn't like his matches, but his promos were something else. He would say literally anything to get over.
Pretty much.
But back to the show. I think pushing the three Shield guys mainly has kind of made it a stale product. You know, we see so much Roman Reigns, we see so much Rollins, and we see a lot of Ambrose. Ambrose has been jobbing lately, which is perplexing. I saw him job to Kane one night. I thought of seeing things. And I think the idea that Seth Rollins is a chicken shit champion just probably doesn't do good for drawing money. The rare moments when Brock Lesnar comes out, the show is extraordinarily fun all of a sudden. But, you know...
I'll tell you what the problem is. It's 50-50 booking. The 50-50 booking. If you know that, I mean, if you know what you watch doesn't matter, then you're going to treat it as such. Why would I want to tune in to see one person win one day and one person lose one day? You know, the whole thing that frustrates you about Neville, you know, he wins one week, he loses one week. You know, right. You bring in R-Truth. He wins one week, he lose one week. And I understand it's the mid-Carter. It's the mid-Carter generation, right? It's the mid-Carter era that we're living in. All right, so I understand that. But even your show, your guys that you're building the show around, as you mentioned, Roman Reigns, he wins one week, he loses one week. You know, Dean Ambrose, he wins one week, he loses one week. It doesn't matter, right? Because when it comes to the pay-per-view, that's what people are going to want to watch to see anyway. There's your hardcore fans, you know. How about the fact that nothing makes sense? Let's talk about the fact that the Divas division is completely, you know, just written like shit. You know, are we gonna cheer for the Bellas and the brand new Bella? Apparently, Alicia Fox is now Alicia Bella. So, you know, so you've got
at least that I understood that they added a person to the group. I was like, okay, I understand that.
Add the faction.
Switching every week, though.
Yeah, but now that they're a faction. You know, now are we cheering for them or are we booing for them? Because now you've got the Samoan Dynasty faction, you've got, you know, these other girls coming in, and, you know, are we cheering or are we booing? Are we wrestling as faces or are we wrestling as heels? I don't even think the talent understands. You know, it seems to me like the Bellas are only going to be heel when they go up against Naomi and Tamina. But other than that, they're going to be faces when they face them too, because apparently those two are supposed to be heels. And it makes no damn sense. Give Divas a chance, please. We would love to give Divas a chance. We'd love to give the NXT Divas a chance. Actually, you know what? Let's not give the NXT Divas a chance, because if they come up to the main roster, they're just going to get buried just like the rest of the Divas, because they don't know how to write on the main show for the Divas. Speaking of Divas, you were talking about the use of Lana.
Oh, boy. Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? I was saying that girl is sexy because she was Russian and evil, right? And she was hanging out with a Russian.
Right.
I was saying that it's psychology. You know, we live in Nashville, Tennessee. There's a million good-looking girls just here in Nashville. Trust me. They're all over the place. And Lana's just another hot girl in Nashville. The psychology of the good-looking girl on TV behind it is what matters. Why do we fall in love with her? Why do we think she's cute? Why do we find it interesting, the things she does and the things she says? Because of her character behind it, because of the way she plays the role. Now you have her hanging out with Glamster, Dolph Ziggler. Well, then she's not good looking anymore to a lot of people. Now the crowd doesn't give a shit about her. Now the crowd's like, oh, she's with that loser. You know, putting her with Dolph Ziggler, I mean, this just makes it even more obvious how awful Dolph is. He does not have that X factor. What did she say? We're going public with the fact that he goes, I know she was just getting back at him at first. That's why she was kissing me, but now we're gone. What kind of fucking idiot are you? That's how you start your relationship? Jesus Christ. You're going to say, I knew she was using me, but now she's cool. Dude, she's fucking using you all the time. That's what that fucking means. Lord, what a loser. And then we go, oh, and she's with some jackass. So then she looks like shit. He looks like shit. Poor Rusev's hobbling around on one foot with a broken foot.
Very, very, very entertaining, by the way, a couple weeks ago when he fell back on his ass watching the monitor, watching the two of them make out. Now, that was great.
Yeah.
He's so funny. That was funny. Oh,
well, I think he's staying. I don't know why he keeps coming out, other than he wants to keep his spot and keep it close. But, you know, the idea that the two girls are going to have a cat fight, you know, you've basically turned Lana, the most interesting character you've had in quite some time in the show, you've basically turned her into, you know, Dawn Marie on ECW having cat fights in just a snap of the fingers.
Well, I'll be honest. I liked it. You know, I liked it. I have to admit, I have to...
sure.
Yeah, seeing her go off on Summer Rae like that was quite good. And but I'm not going to be as rough on the past few Raws as you've been, but I do understand. Yes, they haven't necessarily been all wins for me either.
They've had some wins.
I tell you what was good. The good part is that you and I both agree on this, is the fact that you have John Cena coming out with tremendous matches every single Monday night. The highlight for me of the entire night is the Cena U.S. Open Challenge, whether it's, the intrigue with Kevin Owens. Last week he battled Cesaro. Awesome match. Holy smoke. It was great. So for me, the best matches I've seen out of John Cena, he still continues to deliver. For John Cena haters out there, yes, it's fun to boo Cena, but I know in the back of their mind they're loving it because he's pulling out really great offensive moves. He has got a little bit of extra energy in his in his performance. A lot more intensity, I believe, and those cats from NXT, the new Hungry Lions, if you were, are really stepping up their game in order to compete on that level, and it's paying off for the fans in that particular case.
Wow. I really thought that match was tremendous. I thought it was one of the best TV matches, WWE TV matches of the year. Mm-hmm. And, maybe they'll do something with Cesaro, maybe not, but they did give them 20 full minutes.
It's a lot of time.
And, that was a lot of time. Cena's really, I can't believe how good he's been wrestling. And, the internet marks that want to rate matches and do all this shit. Well, that was a fucking great match. Rate it whatever way you want. He's trying really hard, but, let me tell you something. With the way the business metrics have been working lately and Cena doing this and that, don't be too surprised if you see Cena back in the main event for the world title at some point. And I know you're saying, Steven, that's insanity.
No, I'm not.
I'm telling you, these ratings are low. These houses are doing this and that. I'm telling you, don't be surprised if you see John Cena in the world. Hey, let me just throw this out. I'm just going to say this and just tell me what pops in your head. Seth Rollins versus John Cena for the title. That sounds like a pretty good match, doesn't it?
It does on paper.
And I bet it would be in, now, I don't know what they're going to do with Brock, from what I'm reading, Vince has just figured out what he wants to do for WrestleMania. So he has the 6 matches in his head right now.
Okay, let's hear it.
I don't know them.
I was going to say, read his mind. Steven, why don't you do the Jedi mind trick and read Vince's mind?
I could see him doing John Cena versus Undertaker or something like that. I don't know. I know they're not going to do Undertaker versus Sting for whatever reason. That's no longer an option.
By the way, if you saw the WWE Network sneak first look at the Monday Night Wars, they actually did. How was that, right? I mean, what did Sting say? One of the first things Sting said, it was Renee Young interviewing Triple H and Sting, talking about some of the more behind-the-curtain moments of the Monday Night Wars and their thoughts about it. This is the commentary that I was hoping would come out with a box set of the Monday Night Wars Extended Edition. And we got it. What did he say? He said, the dream matches, Undertaker, Sting and Undertaker at their prime would have been, excellent. But once again, for whatever reason,
Sting and Undertaker in 1997. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That would have been unbelievable.
That's how different things are from then to now. Yeah. And it's pretty sad when I really think about what gets me sad is I love the network, man. I watch it every day. I do.
Yeah, same here.
And I like to watch. I like to watch Raws from sometimes I'll watch a Raw from usually January, March, April, May of 97 into 98, because that's really when everything changed. And man, they were firing on all cylinders. You had Shawn Michaels would come out and do this incredible shoot promo. He acting gay with Triple H, had their hair all made up, pointing at their cocks, doing all this stuff. Then Steve Austin comes out and just beats the living shit out of somebody and curses up a storm. He's great. Mm-hmm. Then Kane comes out for the first time and is completely fresh. The Undertaker comes out when he was still, a younger wrestler. The New Age Outlaws were just getting started. You have Vince McMahon, freshly turned heel. You have The Rock coming up. You have Mick Foley when he was still young. And you have Jim Ross
in his prime on commentary.
Yeah.
That was a magic time. And those moments are what I like to want so bad for these damn shows to be like that. I just want it so bad because it's still real to me. No, but,
well,
but I mean, honestly, I want it like that again so bad, and it just hasn't happened for almost 20 years.
Well, I will say this. It looks like they're loosening up the reins, pardon the pun, a little bit when it comes to promos, because you not only do you have awesome promos from Kevin Owens and John Cena, but seems like there's a lot of really cool stuff happening in terms of personality and character development. You look at, you know, people like the New Day, you know, getting mic time, talking stuff up. You know, their backstage segments are golden. Same with Primetime Players. I believe they're starting to invest a little bit more in their character. You know, and of course, Cena, by the way, cut some awesome promos the past couple of weeks, and Kevin Owens the same. The promo that he cut with Kevin Owens talking French, and then John Cena coming back and talking not just French, but also talking in Chinese and you know, I think he was probably even talking Spanish. I don't know what other languages he was talking, but it was really great.
And that was really, you did Chinese.
Yeah, that promo to me was like, well, holy shit, man, the boy is on point once again. This is the John Cena that used to make fun of people in the ring and throwing around, you know, bags of peanuts all the time. You know, why don't you choke on these nuts? You know, I mean, that's the same kind of, you know, it's more, it's evolved, but that's the kind of stuff you as a fan were like, oh my God, you just got served, you know, Owens, and Owens was serving up some of his own. And, you know, and I think that it could be. I think they may be on their way, you know, which is awesome.
They got some with Owens. They have some with Owens, and they need to hold on to that. And they haven't messed him up yet. I think he'll probably drop the title to Balor and then hopefully win the U.S. title from Cena. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they'll do that.
Well, you know, we're running out of time on this show. We're going to try to keep this down to an hour. There's so much more we can talk about, and I know that you and I have so much more to talk about in the coming weeks. We're going to probably do a supplementary show. I'm going to be doing a trade show this week, so we're probably going to do a early show maybe next week. We're going to try to figure it all out. But, you know, it's going to be really cool. I tell you, it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that, you know, I'm sorry for cutting us off, but... I think this will be really cool. We have a lot of stuff we need to explore, and we will have the promo of the week being Jeff Jarrett and his comeback to TNA. I think that was a very heartfelt promo, so we're going to hear that. Mm-hmm. But for our match of the week, Stephen, you're going to give people a little bit of a schooling on this, because if you have not seen the Wrestle Kingdom 9 pay-per-view that happened earlier this spring, this match is great, and I did watch it in segments, but now I can watch the whole thing, and you're going to have a link to some of the highlights in here. Why don't you talk us a little bit about Nakamura versus Ibushi. Did I say that right?
Kota Ibushi.
Yeah. From Wrestle Kingdom 9.
It's from January 4th of this year. Satoshi Nakamura is regarded as the king of strong style. He's wrestled for quite a number of years, and he's now, you know, in his, you know, mid to late 30s, and he's absolutely perfected his act. He is probably the most charismatic wrestler I currently see. He's a huge Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson fan, and a huge fan of Japanese strong styles, so therefore, he's my favorite human being on the earth.
And he has a great entrance, by the way.
An unbelievable entrance. You know, a lot of... I am a big Freddie Mercury and big Michael Jackson fan. I hate to tell everybody. And he is doing a lot of their moves when he comes down to the ring, believe it or not. But there's nothing Michael Jackson-like about his kicks, which Jim Ross pointed out in the American translated version of the Wrestle Kingdom pay-per-view. He kicks the living shit out of you. And strong style is basically a style that looks like it's really happening. Kota Ibushi is sort of the younger version of him who's coming up, and is just as stiff and is just as dangerous. He had another amazing match about, I think it was in April with AJ Styles. I mean, he's an incredible wrestler, but Shinsuke is the one with all of the charisma. He's got the cool hair. He's got the wild girls. He's got the king outfit. He's got the strut. You know, he's unbelievable. He's honestly my favorite current wrestler. And this match is the best match I've seen this year. And, you know, to be honest, I think the second best match I've seen this year is probably their Lesnar match with Reigns, the ass beating he handed out at Reigns.
Yeah, Suplex City.
That was a rock solid fucking match.
Yes.
The Royal Rumble three-way match that Lesnar and Rollins and Cena had, or whoever was awesome too. But this match blows my fucking mind. I mean, in New Japan, you know, basically the last few Ring of Honor shows have been all New Japan, you know, so now Ring of Honor gets basically back to normal business. But check out New Japan, anybody out there. In this match, let this be a good introduction to how amazing New Japan can really be and the history of Japanese wrestling. So amazing, you know, just even compared to American wrestling, the strong style is strong still in Japan.
Well, no, I really appreciate you turning me onto this, and I appreciate the fact that you can find the link on our show notes. You'll be able to see the Nakamura versus Ibushi match in all of its grandeur in high definition using our link from Wrestle Kingdom 9. Thank you to whoever put that up on YouTube. Watch it while you can. And it is amazing, yeah. Amazing stuff. And definitely, if you haven't checked out the Japanese wrestling, you need to. I haven't checked out a lot of the newer Japanese wrestling since, you know, in a while. I got turned on to Japanese wrestling when I was in college. Thank you to people like Jushin Liger and Tiger Mask and people like that. But now just checking this out, this makes me want to go back and watch the entire thing of Wrestle Kingdom 9, which I heard was an awesome show. So please do that. And Steven, we're going to go ahead and tap out for tonight. It's been an awesome, awesome show. And we're going to be back with more great stuff and more great content. We will probably end up talking more about Ring of Honor and the future about TNA, and definitely talk about Tough Enough. I'd like to tell you that if you're not watching Tough Enough, please do. And if you're not watching Tough Enough, at least follow Alex Riley on Twitter, because he'll tell you all of his opinions on Tough Enough, which were really, really good. So check out Alex Riley's Twitter, because it's worth checking out for sure. In the meantime, on behalf of Mr. Stephen Anthony, don't forget to like and subscribe to our feeds, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher Radio as well, and our good friends for hosting the show, WeBeGeeks.net. You need to check out all of the podcasts. I host multiple podcasts on there, and you should too. If you love comics, you love pop culture, you love wrestling, you need to check out the WeBeGeeks Network. And Stephen, it's always a pleasure to be talking to you about wrestling. I absolutely love it. It's a highlight of my week.
Me too, man. Me too.
Absolutely. So on behalf of Stephen, my name is Al John Go. Don't forget to tuck your head. And there is, I know that Stephen Anthony's a big mark for Dr. Death, Steve Williams, but you're also a mark for someone else, right?
I'm a big mark for people that experience something called obdurant recalcitrant. I think I said it right this time.
Okay, Nick Bockwinkel in this episode.
That's been a third recalcitrant, so I have to be the promo of the week by Nick Bockwinkel.
Okay, there you go.
If we can spell it and find it.
Yeah, if we can spell it and find it, maybe we'll do that next week. I gotta run that search. But don't forget to tuck your head and obdurus openalis cialis. So we'll see you next week. Take care.
Adios, diablos.
Promo of the week.
Wow, I think Impact Wrestling just broke the internet. Wow.
News to me, Daddy. Wow. This might be the first time I said Daddy twice in one night.
I'm speechless.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you. Has hell froze over? What in the world is Jeff and Karen Jarrett, the co-founders of Global Force Wrestling, doing in the middle of a TNA wrestling ring? Well, I will address some points tonight, and some points I'll address about Global Force Wrestling and Jeff and Karen at a later date. But I am going to let you in on why I am specifically here tonight. And I'm going to go back a week ago today. I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, promoting a Global Force Grand Slam Tour show, and I got a text from TNA management. And they said, hey Jeff, we'd like to have a conference call with you. We got a proposal for you. And I'll be honest with you, I was boarding the plane, actually it was in Raleigh, and I just put the phone back into my back pocket and got on and didn't even reply. And then when I got up in the air, I got to thinking, What do they want? It's no secret that we've had our ups and downs, but do they want a talent exchange between Global Force? Do they want to run a co-show? And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna reply and say, yeah, I'll hear you out. And so we got on the phone, and they proposed to me. They said, hey, Jeff, we want you to come back and be in a match. And I got to be honest, I just about hung the phone up when they said that. I don't even wrestle for my own promotion, so why would I come back and wrestle here? And then the next thing they said is, Jeff, it's not just any match. It's your match. It's the match that you created, that you designed. It's the King of the Mountain match. And they said, Jeff, this isn't just going to be any episode of Impact. This is going to be at the 13th anniversary of the company that you and your father co-founded in 2002. So I got to admit, the emotion started coming over me about all the great times that I've had right here in the Impact Zone. The night that I was standing in this ring and Jim Cornette let out that Kurt Angle was jumping to TNA. I got goosebumps. I remember the night when a guy you might have heard of these days, Samoa Joe, walked down the aisle and gave Kurt the headbutt from hell. And I can remember literally before our very eyes over several years, a punk kid from North Georgia become into quite arguably the greatest wrestler this organization's ever produced, AJ Styles. And I could go on and on. Bobby Roode, James Storm put together at a time that nobody knew where they were going. They became Beer Money and probably the greatest tag team this company's ever produced. Eric Young went from being the Pied Piper to having more television shows than Ryan Seacrest. And then I pumped the brakes. And I said, you know, I'm looking in my rearview mirror and have all this warm and fuzzy. But since April 7th, 2014, I've put my blood, sweat, and tears on promoting Global Force Wrestling. And I had to really, thank you, thank you. And I had to really think about, how's this going to affect the Global Force roster? How is this going to... the staff, my team at home that has really, really dug deep over the last 14 months. And then it goes without saying, how was Karen? How is she going to react to this?
First off, I love you with everything that I am, Jeff Jarrett. But as you all know, I'm a little different than Jeff. So when Jeff hung up the phone with TNA and came walking into the room and said, you better sit down for this, I thought, oh my God, what now? What now? Because to me, this was all in our rearview mirror. We moved on. Global Force Wrestling, our family, this is what we're living. Global Force Wrestling, that is our future. Thank you. So my emotions took over and I said, absolutely not. Don't call them back. Don't text them back. We've moved on. And then Jeff continued to lay it out to me. And I understand that this was his baby. He started this with his dad. And as hard as it is for me to understand, and I still standing in this ring don't completely understand why we're here. But I love my husband. and I support him in everything and anything that he chooses in life. And even this morning at 11 a.m., sitting on the phone with a part of our Global Force Wrestling talent roster and good friend and confidant, Sanjay Dutt, crying my eyes out, saying, why look in the rearview mirror? We have so much in our future. And he's worked so hard. And Sanjay said, Karen, you may never understand this, but he didn't go out the way that he wanted to go out. No matter how bright our future is, or how good things are. Right now, Jeff didn't leave here on his terms. He got fired on a backstage pre-tape by Sting. So, Jeff, that being said, I didn't get on this plane today and walk into this ring to turn around and go home. You are going to leave this company on your terms. And Sunday, look at me, you're going to make things right the way Jeff Jarrett knows how to do it. I love you, baby, and I will be standing there by your side.
So you can bank on this. This Sunday is Slammiversary. That's going to be seen around the globe. The King of the Mountain is officially declaring himself in the match. One last time, I'm walking the TNA aisle, and I'll be damned if I'm not going to climb that ladder and reign King of the Mountain. And just like my good buddy Toby Keith looked me in the eye 2 days ago and said, hey kid, you may not be as good as you once were, but once you're as good as you ever were.
We have a saying in this business, never say never.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.